Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Praising the Lord, brother.
Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Praising God. He's good.
Hey, amen to that. And praise God for all you guys out there. We're just so blessed by you. I'm sure with this whole election season going on, you know, we're excited that you're taking the time to hopefully get away from the news for a while and coming over to here and hear what we have to say about Scripture, about things that are really important in our culture. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We want to just praise God for that. And I want to ask you guys for prayer. We are getting so close. I probably said that a number of times, but this time I'm serious. So close on our Marvel video that Joe's been working really hard on. He just popped in the other day and laid down a lot of the last VOs, but voiceovers, close. But getting there. Hopefully we'll even do some in-studio stuff soon enough. Yep. We'll talk about
keeping that. Keeping me busy, it's definitely rolling along.
We'll talk about that in a Zoom meeting, hopefully, and hopefully soon enough a Zoom meeting with some of our exclusive Patreons as well, so they can be involved a little bit in that as well. If you guys have already come on to be patrons on our Patreon page, we want to thank you guys for that. But it's something big, guys. Please keep it in prayer. We do believe that the enemy's been attacking this whole entire project, because we do believe that, I mean, stuff's going to blow your mind. I don't want to give away anything, but it's like they sold their souls to rock and roll, but for modern time, and it's not music, it's something else, and it's stuff that, I don't know, it's probably, I don't want to say it's more of a surprise, I guess, to me when I see it. I'm like, this is even more, because the visual aspect of it, I guess.
Marvel in DC, it's same enemy at work.
Man. Same enemy at work. And you'll notice that people have really strong ties to those things for a reason. They're not on accident. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I wanted to put that out there before we started talking about this, because that's really important. And we have just such an awesome group of people that listen to the show every day that are edified by it. And you guys write into us all the time. You guys bless us all the time. And so when we're asking for prayer about something, why not ask you guys first? So we're excited
Amen.
About that.
Thank you guys so much for your prayers.
So Joe, we have something a little different going on in our country, obviously, but Democratic activist Sarah McBride, he calls himself, will become the nation's first person who publicly identifies as transgender to serve as a state senator after garnering 73% of the vote in Delaware. Wow. So we have a trans person now helping to vote and helping to lead our country. And she had to say this, I hope tonight shows... he had to say this. Yeah. I hope tonight... See, that's what I'm reading instead of just... I hope tonight shows an LGBTQ WXYZ kid that our democracy is big enough for them too. And so... that's what's going on. And so with that in mind, thinking about now this is somebody who's going to be helping run our country, and we've had plenty of other weird stuff going on with people that want to run our country. But seeing that, I think it's a great segue into us talking about what the Bible has to say concerning sexuality, what the Bible has to say concerning transgenderism.
Yeah, it actually has something to say about it.
And the Bible does have something to say about it, so we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, amen, bro. Yeah, it's quite interesting. It's really, you know, it hurts your heart. You know, we see what's going on with our country, the direction it's going on and going in with regard to, you know, a lot of the social issues, you know, families being broken down, BLM coming against the family, the nuclear family, and so forth. And then seeing that this, you know, homosexuality run rampant and, you know, you just having this discussion and talking about it, who knows, it could be outlawed in just a matter of years. Couple years, maybe we'll see what happens. We'll be able to do a show on this, you know, without being fined or arrested or, you know, that's what have true. You to just talk about truth, you know, is someone, you know, who has feelings about being an animal. A lot of people think that they identify with being a certain animal or being, you know, a different race, even though they're not, or
Rachel Dolezal, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Or a different, you know, sex than they are biologically. And we're not talking about those who have the chromosomal situation to where biologically there's a biological confusion going on. You know, your heart goes out to people that have a struggle because of a genetic type situation. But we're talking about those who are biologically male and female, who just want to believe that they aren't, you know, male or female, and then not dealing with that from a biblical standpoint. Because we have to keep in mind, though, we have to have compassion, and our hearts should break not only for the direction that our world's going in, but for the people that are deluded and deceived. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not at war with these people. We love them. We're not like, you know, fake Christian ministry, so-called, like God hates FAGS type, you know, Westboro Baptist and stuff.
Or Steven Anderson, Westboro Baptist.
Yeah, which is not even Christian, you know. True Christians will be praying for the lost, will recognize, hey, we were once there, such were some of us, you know, and in different situations, the Lord saved us and had mercy upon us. And so we should be praying for them. But at the same time, we also have to be bold about who our God is, what the gospel is. And we need to be clear on this subject and what God says about it, because there are all kinds of lives being ruined. There's little kids, you know, throughout the nation right now and throughout different parts of the world where their parents, you know, they just, you know, mama wants a little girl instead of a little boy, and starts dressing them up and say, oh, I think he likes that. Well, and it starts calling her she.
Oh, they want their social media account to be, and want everyone to see their social media account.
Oh, yeah, right? Because of fame.
Yep, you know, you got it.
Wanting people to clickbait and stuff, use their kids as clickbait. And a lot of that's going on because we live in a wicked world, you know, where people go to great extremes. In fact, a lot of, you know, transvestism was based upon people wanting to, I mean, dress in the most outrageous ways as the opposite sex to get attention.
Yeah.
And there's parades, you know, gay parades, which is about flaunting these things in many cases. So, but our hearts, you know, hurt for the people that are caught up in these things. In ministry, we deal with, you know, flesh and blood people that we love, that we've reached out to, that we know, that we minister to, that are caught up in, get caught up in these things and then repent, you know. I had a gentleman come to me last night after Bible study. He wasn't caught up in any of this. You know, he just been backslidden for years. Saw him in the fellowship. I did a message on building your life on the rock just recently. And then I did a message on the different degrees of punishment in hell, which we might do a podcast on that. It's kind of an interesting topic. Good, yeah. And he came up to me. And he's been away for probably 7, 8, 10 years. I'm thinking, maybe I'll say 7 or 8. And he was he's such a praise God, awesome guy. And he just had tears in his eyes, you know. I hugged him like 3 different times, just saying, welcome back, man. And he says, I'm the apostate that you're talking about. And I've recommitted my life to Christ. And our hearts go out to people who are struggling. And for him, it could have just been he said it was, you know, thorns and thistles that came up, who choked out the word in his life. For other people, it's something really drastic like this.
And another guy that last night, that separately than the same person I know you're talking about, came up to me, who I had known. I had told Tony the story, and I'll tell you afterwards. But those serious talks about what's going on, especially, you can get into we're talking here about somebody in trans or maybe homosexuality, but fornication, adultery, you know, all these things hinder you from following or knowing Christ. And he had come up to me, and he had wrestled for me before, and he was like, did someone text him and tell him I was coming? I was like, I didn't even know you were coming. I haven't seen you in a year, you know? So
it's great timing for different people then.
Yeah, I know that has not as much to do with what we're talking about here, but it's really, really important, because the fear of God, right?
Amen.
How we persuade man. So that was just
cool. That's our heart, is that that's the heart of Jesus, and we want to see people come to him, and we love people, those who are caught up in homosexuality or transvestism or whatever they're caught up in. We want them to be able to realize God's will for their lives, you know, in salvation and sanctification. But it's going to be harder and harder to warn people, so we need to warn while we can. And we'll still be persecuted for it, but in Canada, it's really difficult. I remember we've been up there a number of times to do, you know, speak in different venues and stuff. And I remember once, a couple times when we spoke at one particular conference, I was one of the speakers, and they mentioned that, you know, hey, yeah, we can't speak against homosexuality here, but since you're a guest, you can, you know. And they had somebody that was running for office there in Canada not too long ago. And somebody put out a pamphlet, a believer did, warning, you know, about this person is really a man, claimed to be a woman. His identity is really a man. And he was brought to court and fined $55,000 for pointing out the truth. Wow. For pointing out the truth, yeah. You know? And in New York, if you're an employee and you know, and you're in the woman's bathroom and a man comes in but claims he's a woman, and you ask him about it, you can be fined up to $250,000, you know? And this is really, really sick stuff and really, really sad. I mean, you have Chad, you have a little granddaughter and two now.
I have two daughters. I have no granddaughters, but two daughters.
I have the granddaughters. Chad has the daughters, but they're my granddaughters. And I don't want them in school. You know, right now they're homeschooled, thank God, but I don't want them, and there's some guys coming in claiming to be gals, and then you can't even question it.
Yeah, they'll continue to be homeschooled, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Amen. Lord willing, amen. So in Genesis 1:27, God makes it really clear, the Lord God. So God created man, Adam, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 5:2, male and female, he created them. And he blessed them and named them man when they were created. So it's important that we understand that there's a spiritual war going on too, right? Satan hates that. He hates that there is a distinction between male and female, because, and this gets a little bit deeper here for a minute before we actually get into some of the texts in both the Old and the New Testament that warn against transgenderism. We actually see scripture, you know, that tells us that Satan tried to foil the plan of God. From the very beginning in Genesis, you know, it says the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, but the serpent would bruise
the heel,
the descendant of the woman's heel. That would be the Messiah, and which is quite interesting because it's metaphorical, but it's also became quite literal, because in forensic science, you know, when a body dies, the blood basically builds a bruise in the area that's touching the something physical, especially in the lower extremities of the body. Well, in Christ's lower extremity, what was touching the bottom of the cross? His heel.
His heel.
And it would have been bruised, which is quite interesting. Written in a, you know, got to get back to, we will get typologies again, but we never leave that subject because so many beautiful, powerful pictures in God's word, you know. But it's interesting, from the beginning, Satan was just wanting to destroy God. He couldn't. Want to be like the Most High God? He couldn't. So he wants to destroy the people of God. But one thing he hates is the fact that we've been able to be redeemed by the blood of Christ, and that Christ is our heavenly bridegroom, and that those who belong to Christ, metaphorically speaking, are called throughout Scripture the bride of Christ, you know, and we're one body with him as two become one, a husband and wife become one. Christians are part of the body of Christ, and we're one with our heavenly bridegroom, and Satan hates that. So he hates the distinction between bridegroom and bride. He hates what the Bible calls the mega mysterion. Paul called it, the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 5, the mega mysterion. He hates it. So one way to obliterate the picture of what God's doing, which the angels long to see the whole plan of redemption, is to obliterate the difference between the sexes. And this has been going on for a long time. When you study ancient shamanism, voodoo priests and so forth, it's very interesting. Often they would dress, these were the demon-possessed shamans and voodoo priests who were leading their, you know, their clans and their villages into paganism. They would dress like women. And guess what? Everybody else, well, that would be wrong for everybody else, but guess what? It would break the taboo. And then they would often take little boys as their sex partners, shamans. And it's just kind of interesting because in the 1960s, when you had 50s with, you know, Little Richard, then the 60s with David Bowie and you know, Mick Jagger and all these guys, they started dressing like women. And guess what? They started getting into not only homosexuality, but David Bowie talked about, you know, the Asian boys being so cute, and I would take him into his room, you know, when he was on tour and stuff in, I think, Japan. Just grotesque, sick stuff. So it's the same spirit that's at work, you know, and there's a demonic spirit behind this whole thing. And the scriptures tell us very clearly in Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as the woman is an abomination. You know, the Bible clearly states that homosexuality is an abomination. Romans 1, 26 and 27 says, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. In fact, Paul uses the word, he says it's unnatural. He goes on to use the word unloving, and the word storge is against family love. He uses that word storge, which means family love. And of course, you know, you can't procreate if you, homosexuality doesn't bring forth procreation, and it's against nature, but they're burning their lust for one another. So it shows you that Satan can so deceive people where they can start to desire the opposite sex. And there's certain drugs, Satan uses pharmakeia this way. I've studied pharmakeia for quite some time, and I've read that on methamphetamines, guys that are totally heterosexual, when they're methamphetamines will have sex with other men that are also on it. And then they'll go home to their wives.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, you know, and these drugs open you up to the demonic realm. So the scriptures warn about, you know, unnatural affections, you know, in the last days, you know, that which is contrary to a storge, family love. And it's really sad because you have situations too. I mean, just on a daily basis, you see guys going into track, you know, and they join the women's track team because they can't beat the other guys. Oh, guess what? I'm really a woman. Then they join the women's track team. This happens all in schools all over the place. And then they just obliterate the women because men are made genetically different. And then if the women complain and say, this isn't right, this is a man. And they're just, these women's track teams are just devastated. Oh, you're a bigot, or that's wrong. And that shows you the stranglehold, because it's so illogical, but the stranglehold that Satan is getting through via, you know, the far left in our nation. In New Zealand, they had a weightlifter that then started claiming to be a woman, couldn't beat the men. He broke all kinds of records.
Was he the comedian who did it as a joke? Yeah, there was one guy who literally went on there to mess with them and broke every record. Said, well, I'm a woman.
Yep, claimed to be a woman, you know. And scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that God is not the author of confusion. And it's just, you know, there's a video out there of a man from done in Washington. It's a guy that represents the family policy council, and he goes on to a university there in Washington. I think it's the University of Washington, and he goes up to the students and says, "Hey, if I start to identify as a woman, will I be a woman?" They're like, "Well, yeah." It just shows the brainwashing that goes on in these universities, paying godless amounts of money to be brainwashed. It's just so sad. If I identify as a child, we accept that I'm a child. Yeah, so this grown man is all of a sudden a child, a female child, right? Well, if I identify as a Chinese guy, you know, will you feel that I'm a Chinese guy? Well, yeah, if you really believe that, I guess, you know, okay. And now this guy's pretty short. Well, what if I identify as a 6'5" guy? Then at that point, they said, no, that's obviously, you can't be a 6'5 guy. You're a short guy right now. You are not 6'5". You cannot claim to be 6'5". But wait a minute. Mm-hmm. He's not Chinese either, okay? He's not a little girl either, you know? And it's just, it shows you the idiocy of what's gone on. You know, I went into lycanthropy before, and the problem years and years ago when this was first becoming accepted in our nation, and how there's which is considered a malady, you know, a mental illness, where people think they're animals. But guess what? Now, just like it was considered in psychology, I mean, it was uniformly believed and understood that homosexuality was not natural and it was a psychological malady. But guess what? It just takes the opinions of people who want anything to go and are antichrist to just say, hey, let's just pretend this is good. Listen to what the scriptures say about, you know, basically dressing like a woman. If you're a man seeking to be like a woman, of course, the reverse would be true as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, it says, a woman shall not wear a man's garment. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. I mean, it's quite clear. Again, Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. Whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. So just like it's an abomination for a man to sleep with another man, or a woman to sleep with another woman before the Lord, it's also an abomination to pretend that you're the opposite sex. And, you know, so, you know, this is so serious. Now some will say, Joe, but that's the Old Testament. You know, that's in the Old Testament. Well, the Bible condemns homosexuality, for instance, in both Testaments. And the Bible also condemns seeking to be the opposite sex than you are biologically in both Testaments. In fact, a lot of people don't realize it's also in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, we read, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals." And by the way, we've dealt with this word homosexuals here. We're not even really, we're dealing with transgenderism here. But that Greek word for that's used there for homosexuals, some in the homosexual community and apologists for them will say, well, that's such a rare word that Paul coins there, you know, and it's really not a word we could really understand. But I'm not even going to say what the Greek word is. We've gotten into it before, but I'll say this much. Paul basically took two different words that meant man-betters, basically betting other men.
Yeah, so you can get both sides of it.
Right. He took the, from the scriptures where it says, yeah, you shall lie in bed with another man if you're a man. And he took those two words, which were, and the Septuagint, by the way, was used by Jesus and the apostles in the first century. And he took the words, the two words that they would have seen over and over and over again, condemning homosexuality, and he put the two words together using one word. That's why it's over and over again, uniformly in almost every translation, translated homosexuals. But we're not even talking about that word so much. We're going to get into the word effeminate in a minute. Nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. I think it's important that we understand that this is a vice list of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And there's tens of thousands of professing Christians, perhaps millions, that are saying, oh yeah, no, of course, yeah, homosexuals will enter the kingdom of God. But they won't say, you know, swindlers will or adulterers will necessarily. But the scriptures have the same list with adulterers and thieves and revilers, swindlers, of those who won't inherit the kingdom of God. The loving thing to do isn't to pretend that your opinion matters over God's word, or to try to be hip and say, ah, it's cool, I'm just going to accept this. Because if you're trying to accept a lie, you're not loving people who are caught up in these delusions. Okay, that's a form of hatred. The Bible talks about if you don't discipline your child, you hate your child. So I mean, you literally hate your child? No, but it comes out like hate, you know, because you're basically doing them harm. If you're not warning people that you claim to love, that their lifestyle is leading them to hell, do you really love them? I mean, in some way, you've got to prayerfully get to them and let them know what you believe, you know. I'm talking about someone you're in contact with that you're seeing, you know, and you don't want to let your God's word be known. I prayerfully ask you, encourage you to seek the Lord on that, to give you strength to lovingly speak the truth in love here. But this vice list is very serious, and it's interesting. You don't have parades of adulterers, you know. You don't have adultery parades. You don't have thief parades or drunkard parades. Well, yeah, you kind of do when you get a lot of these guys that are, you know, into football in the UK, I guess. But
I also got the St. Patrick's Day down in Chicago.
Yeah, so yeah, you know what? You got some of those, I guess. But you have these gay parades celebrating this, and with a lot of the effeminate there. What's the word effeminate mean? I think this is very important. The Greek word translated effeminate, and most Christians are clueless about this, but this, you can look it up. It's malakoi, okay, malakoi. M-A-L-A-K-O-I. And this word is really, really interesting. It literally means soft men. Soft men. And it's not referring to a guy. There's guys that are, you know, that are more masculine, that are athletic, that love sports. There are the guys that just, you know, they don't love sports, not maybe athletic, or they love sports, but they're not athletic themselves. But they're, you know, they're not just not built that way. But that's not talking about, but they're still, their disposition is still manly. They're still men. They still recognize, I'm made for women. Unless I have the gift of singleness, maybe I'll be married, you know, and what have you. But we're talking about soft men and the way it was used in, especially in the context it's used in this vice list. We're not talking about this word being used in the context of, you know, something soft. We're talking about it being used and coupled with homosexuals as a form of deviancy. So how was malakoi used in that context? Well, I think it's important that we look at the philosopher of Alexandria, Philo, okay? And I know if you're into philosophy, you're thinking, no, he said that wrong. You mean Philo. No, because I like, I'm more into, I love philosophy, but in Greek you say philo, but those in philosophy class will say philo, and that's okay. Have it as you will, because we really don't know how they pronounce Koine Greek anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And it would actually be...
it's far too vast, thanks to Alexander the Great.
Yeah, exactly. But and it would actually be philon, if you're being really strict with Greek. But anyway, we'll say Philo. We'll make our philosopher friends happy. Philo spoke of men who became, quote, who, quote, became like women, use this word malakoi, in their persons, and who, quote, altered the impression of their natural manly appearance into the resemblance of a woman. Did you guys catch that? He's using that word, and you know, it's close to, you know, the first century right there. Philo spoke of men who, quote, became, and he's a first century Jewish philosopher, okay, guys, who, quote, became like women in their persons, and, quote, altered the impression of their natural manly appearance into the resemblance of women. The church father, Clement of Alexandria, wrote in the second century using the same word of men who he stated, quote, became effeminate or malakoi, wearing, quote, women's hairstyles and perfume and shaving their bodies to become smooth like women. Theologians, and I think this is interesting, theologians Donald Forston and also along with Roland Graham, they go actually so far as to claim that malakoi in the first century was akin to the modern acronym LGBT.
Oh, wow.
These theologians, when they've studied through their vast study of the word, saying this was like the LGBT word or acronym now, it was basically used of people that were involved in that kind of lifestyle and gloried in it. So it's very, very interesting that we have a scripture that warns that not only men who bed other men, men bedders, but also those who seek to become like women will not inherit God's kingdom. And if you're a believer, that's got to tear your heart, man. So we need to be praying for these people, crying out to God on their behalf. The good news is God's word goes on to say in verse 11, such were some of you, meaning some people in the Corinthian congregation once were, guess what, men bedders. Some were fornicators. Some were adulterers. Some were thieves. Some were drunkards. Some were malakoi. Some were soft men who were trying to become like women. Such were some of you, but you were washed. They were washed by the blood of Jesus. And you were sanctified, meaning they were set apart from the evil that they were once engaging in, trying, you know, men bedders, being like women. They turned, they repented. The Malakois experienced metanoia, to use another beautiful Greek word, or I should say a beautiful Greek word, the other was not really beautiful, but you were justified. That means they were declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. I mean, the Holy Spirit will give you strength. God will wash you. The Holy Spirit will sanctify you and strengthen you to become the man or woman God created you to be. You must simply look to Jesus Christ. You must look to the cross and look to the Lord for his strength and his glory to empower you to become the person that he had created you to be. And there's ministries of people that have come out of that movement that are there to reach out to you to help you along the way and say, hey, I was there, but guess what? Look what Jesus did in me. So press on in Jesus and seek him. He loves you, whoever you are. Cry out to him and know him.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, please consider visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/goodfight. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.